On Friday, Michigan native Eric Gutman will bring his one-man show From Broadway to Obscurity to Kalamazoo's Farmers Alley Theater. It tells Gutman's winding journey from Michigan to starring in the hit musical Jersey Boys, then away from the big stages and back to his home state. Eric Gutman, thanks for being on Arts and More.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, sure. So I wanted to start with this play, From Broadway to Obscurity. It actually got its start in Kalamazoo a while ago, right?
Yeah, well, you know, the first incarnation was when Tracy Lowy, who's the marketing director over there at Miller, hired me to do their Miller's season announcement show. And this kind of conception started as more of a cabaret series and just telling some stories. I had just a piano player, I had some backup singers, and that was kind of that. And I didn't think that it would ever come around again. And then a few years later, the managing director at the Berman Center for the Performing Arts in West Bloomfield, Michigan, contacted me and said, Tracy over at Kalamazoo told me kind of about your show. Do you want to do it here? And I said, yeah, but I want to rewrite it. So she gave me the time, and I worked on it for almost a year. And premiered it 2 years ago in the version that it is now and forever shall be.
Wow. So I want to actually talk about that, obviously, but I want to go back a little bit and almost start at your time at Western when you went to Western Michigan University.
I did.
So for so many people in musical theater, I feel like the journey to reach, you know, the stage, oftentimes it'll end in college and they'll end up having to, you know, do a real professional, not professional, but kind of white collar job.
Sure.
How did you make the jump from college at Western to doing these big plays? What was that process like? I imagine it was probably kind of tough.
You know, you'd think, I was very, very, very lucky. It was kind of the right place at the right time. Right around graduation, I had a friend that was working downtown Detroit at the Gem Century Theater, which is a lovely theater space. And she was understudying in a show called I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. And I went to undergrad with her. And right next door at the Century Theater was a show called Forbidden Hollywood. And they were starting up and they needed local talent to be understudies. And she said, hey, you're funny. You should do this. And I said, well, okay, I guess I'll audition, you know, just thinking I'll just get some real world experience. And funny enough, I landed the job. So less than a week out of college, I get my first professional job. Within a few months, I get my professional actor's equity card. And I stayed with Forbidden Hollywood and then Forbidden Christmas for the holidays and Forbidden Broadway for 10 months here in Detroit. And then moved to New York and almost immediately started working with them and their New York production as well as their road tour.
That's incredible. I feel like it. Did you feel lucky at points to have it be so seamless?
Oh, lucky is, I mean, I counted my blessings every morning. I mean, it was tremendous. I mean, to go to do it that quickly and to be in a show like Forbidden Broadway, which I had known for years. I mean, it's a staple of New York and. Oh, I'm so blessed to be a part of that show and to continue to. I mean, it's 15 years later, and I'm still doing shows with them sometimes. So it's been a beautiful working relationship.
Wow. So I know your big break and kind of what you are known for is Jersey Boys,
yes.
The musical looking at Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Mm-hmm. How did that come about for you? How did the audition process, how did you go from Forbidden Broadway to doing a big show like that?
I was doing Forbidden, just sporadically on the road. They don't have like a full on tour that goes for months or years. It's a week here or three nights there. And so I was just working in Michigan, a regular 9-to-5 type of job. And, I caught wind that Jersey Boys was auditioning, in Chicago for the first national tour. And at first I really didn't want to do it, because I kind of was just burnt out of the whole, mass auditions and especially for big shows. I had certainly had my fill of those when I lived in New York. But then I bought the cast album. And I said, well, this is phenomenal, so I'm going to go do it. And long story short, that worked out.
Wow. How was that process of transitioning to a national tour? Obviously, too, I feel like make a one-man show out of your experiences in all of these different places. you must have to have lots of stories and really compelling kind of conversations and experiences.
I have so many stories from the road, and luckily I'm able to share many of them in my show, From Broadway to Obscurity. So I don't want to give away too many of them. But I mean, it was a life-changing experience. It was, and I'm forever grateful to be a part of that experience and to be a part of the history of that show. Not just with the First National Tour, but also with the Chicago company and the Broadway company. So, you know, I got to be in three different companies. I played six different roles throughout those companies. It was an amazing 3 years.
Yeah, can you give us a little peek? I know you don't want to spoil too much about it, but what is life like on the road like that for someone who you are going to, you know, different cities a
yeah,
lot of the time?
I mean,
when you're,
look,
when you're on a national
I was
tour.
Lucky for a few different reasons. Number one, when we mm-hmm. first launched the national tour, it's not like it is now where, you know, Jersey Boys is in Kalamazoo right now. They're here for a week before mm-hmm. they were in East Lansing. A week before that, they were in Atlanta. A week before that, they were in, where, you know, who knows where. You know, back when we started, because nobody on the West Coast had seen the show unless you flew to New York. So we were in San Francisco for 6 months and then LA for 3 months.
Oh,
and
wow.
we were in places for long stretches of time. We were very, very lucky, in that reason. So that was number one, why touring was great, was you get to kind of put your feet down and unpack. Number two is great because, my wife came with me. So she came on the road with me. She was working for Chrysler and she wasn't in love with it at the time. And I said, well, quit your job and come on the road. And she did. And she sold merchandise, you know, for the show, as many of the other, you know, husbands and wives did, from the other cast members that toured. And we had, I mean, we got to see a ton of the West Coast together, and it was great to be able to do that with her.
What's the experience like for someone, a normal week for you in these performances? Were you able to spend a lot of time really exploring the city and getting a chance to really kind of experience these different places?
Well, again, because we were there for so long, yes. You know, we did 8 shows a week, which is rough. Around the holidays, it was a little different. You know, Thanksgiving, they always added some shows, removed some shows around. Same with around Christmas time. But for the most part, we had our days free. You know, we would have rehearsal maybe once or twice a week. But other than that, yeah, we got to go to really fun places to eat, and we got to see, you know, places we wanted to see. And I lived in California when I was a kid, so when we were in LA, I got to see a lot of old friends and family out there for the few months we were there. Yeah, it was awesome. It was so great.
Yeah, when I look through the kind of videos and stuff that you have online about your own performance, I feel like a theme of what is talked about is, I guess, being able to reach your dreams and kind of reaching that point where, you know, you've reached something that you've worked for years and years, mm-hmm. and this is what it sounded like for you. For you, when you were doing these shows, did it ever feel like you had made it in the musical theater world?
Yes. I mean, for my own, as far as my own personal feeling was concerned, yes, yeah. I felt like I had reached kind of the pinnacle. I mean, it's funny too, because we were on the road and it was, you know, I'm in the touring company of the biggest show in the world right now. And then I got the call that they wanted me to go to the Broadway company. And at first I didn't want to, because I was enjoying it on the road, and I kind of wanted to go to the Chicago company because that was closer to home. And my wife turned to me, because I was really trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And she said, Eric, this is what you work for. Like, this is the ultimate dream, to perform on Broadway. This is what you went to school for and you struggled for so many years. You have to take this. And I'm thrilled that she kind of, you know, put that in front of me, because doing the Broadway company was an experience I'll never forget.
How long were you on Broadway for?
For a year.
Oh, wow. Wow. So for that process, obviously you were going through all of these, you know, you did the national tour, Chicago, did Broadway with this show, and you were doing different roles at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. Did it ever, I feel like this is probably a common question for a performer, but doing it 8 times a week, does that get monotonous at all? Do you have to have something to kind of make you keep going and getting up every day and continuing those performances? Is that hard?
Yes, it is monotonous. There are some songs that are more monotonous than others. I mean, you know, I did 1,200 performances, and on the 1,200th performance, I still loved the songs Dawn. I loved Who Loves You. You know, there's some songs that you never tire of, and there's others that you do. And very honestly, for me personally, it was just trying to tell the story as honest as possible. You know, this was a real story about four real people, and you have to honor their legacy by being true to that. And so that was one thing that you could take away every day was, okay, you might be a little tired, you might not want to sing Sherry, but this is an important piece of their history, and you have to preserve it. And also, I think of myself as a young performer. When I used to see national tours or see Broadway shows, and it, you know, it's those shows that changed my life. It's those shows that made me want to do this. And all I can think about is, are there other kids in the audience where this is affecting them as it affected me? So you got to give it a little bit more, you know, even, and yeah, everybody's tired. So you get on stage, you give your 100%. And as soon as you walk off stage, then you can kind of fall on the floor into a puddle. But while you're on stage, you got to give it what you can.
Yeah. What's it like listening to those songs now, looking back on it?
Very nostalgic, certainly. Yeah. You know, if the radio's on and a Four Seasons song comes on, you know, I'll always, a smile will always creep across my face. Or if I'm listening to like the Broadway channel on Sirius, it's the same type of thing. If I hear a Jersey Boys cast album being played, it's funny to me just because these are people I know, and these are songs I know very well, and the history behind those songs I know very well. And it's exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm curious, when obviously you kind of reached this pinnacle at Broadway and doing all of these big things, what makes you want to stop doing that? What led, I mean, your show is called From Broadway to Obscurity. What made you want to stop doing these performances? What kind of led to you ending up where you are now?
Well, my wife and I got pregnant with our first daughter, and we were in New York, and we were trying to make the decision of, can we do this here in New York all by ourselves, or is it time to refocus our attention on other things? And I decided at that time, as hard of a decision as it was, that it was time to refocus. And so we came home and we had our first daughter. And funny enough, a few months after that, that's when Chicago called. And they said, could you fill in here? And Sarah and I said, sure, we can do that. So we packed up the kid and the dog and all of our stuff. And we went to Chicago for 7 months. So, you know, it was still close by. But then, you know, then number two comes along, and it's just like, oof, this is going to get harder and harder if we keep getting on the road. And so ultimately it was family that cemented the decision to stay home.
Yeah. How's the transition been for you? Obviously you're still doing this one man show, but do you feel, do you miss, you know, being in a place for 6 months or 3 months and doing those 8 performances a week?
I don't necessarily miss 8 performances a week. I don't necessarily miss Jersey Boys per se. I miss the enormity of being in a show that's that well loved and respected, and to be able to do it for multi-generations. You know what I mean? Like, it's people my age and certainly my parents' age, because this is all their music. And absolutely. now it's the generation even, you know, before mine that's beginning to enjoy it, because Jersey Boys is now celebrating its 10th year on Broadway. So it's the fact that it can span that many generations. It's the fact that this is the first show I ever knew where husbands were dragging their wives to the theater, except instead of vice versa. So to be a part of something like that was very special. And to know that this show kind of changed the landscape as far as traditional musicals merging with jukebox musicals. You know, this wasn't like, and all due respect to Mamma Mia, but Mamma Mia is, here's Mamma Mia's songs, let's figure out how to make this into a show. Versus Jersey Boys, which is the very, very true story of these four guys and how their music fit into it all.
Yeah, does the fact that your big show that you are well known for is Jersey Boys. Does that make you feel really satisfied with your experience yes. as a whole performing?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it is such an institution, because mm-hmm. it's been all over the world, because everybody has seen the show and it's universally adored, for the most part, you know what I mean? It's a show that I'm very, very proud of. It's a show that I'm proud because I got to work directly with, you know, Des McAnuff, who is a 2-time Tony Award winning director. You know, I don't know, you know, these companies now that the tour's been out for 9 or 10 years, I don't know how much interaction the companies get with him directly. The fact that I got to work side by side with him for months is a testament to how good the tour was and how focused we all were. So, I mean, my full experience, the 3 years with it in each company for different reasons was extraordinary.
Yeah. How is performing now as part of a one-man show different from performing with this ensemble and doing
it? Oh, Robbie, it's so tiring. It's 75 minutes of just me singing my face off. I mean, it's a lot of work. I did it back in July. I was in Winnipeg for the Winnipeg Fringe Festival, which is a humongous theater festival. And I did 12 shows in 12 days. And I was so tired. So tired. I've never done anything like that. And I have a 4-week run in Detroit starting in January, you know, the dead of winter, which is when you really want to sing. And, and you know, I'm just, even now I'm trying to think, okay, how am I going to make this work? But, it's taxing. It's really tiring. I'm pretty spent after it, but artistically it's one of the most wonderful things I feel I've ever done. And I'm really proud of the story. Because it's not just a cabaret, you know, it's not just here's a Jersey Boys song and here's a story behind it and here's another Jersey Boys song. It's really not that. There's 26 songs in my show and they all help further the story behind what I'm talking about. And if you love Jersey Boys, you'll love the show because I have some great stories and anecdotes from it. And if you don't know anything about Jersey Boys, you'll still enjoy it because it talks about a person's struggles and loss and achievements and working towards their dream, and everybody can relate to it because it could be anybody's story. It doesn't have to be about some kid that really wanted to be on Broadway. It could be about anybody that has had struggles in their lives and has overcome them.
Is that what, when you were given the opportunity to write this, is that what made you feel like your story was worth telling? Is the fact that you did know that these big themes of dreams and pursuing these sorts of things are something that will resonate with people?
I hoped it, you know, I didn't know if it would or not, because look, at the end of the day, it's just me talking about me, which, you know, who cares? But when I premiered it 2 years ago, again, it resonated with people in a way that I had never really thought it would. And after rereading the script a million times, I kind of got it. You know, I just tried to be very true to the story and I tried to be very honest about my past and my present. And I think people just enjoyed that aspect of it. You know, again, when I was in Winnipeg, I got these insanely good reviews and I was really taken aback. Not that I don't think maybe the show's worth it, but I just never thought that another person would give so much thought to what I had written and cared about it as much as I do. And it's just, the feeling is inexplainable. I can't explain how that makes me feel. It's extremely rewarding and gratifying that I've created something that other people care about.
I imagine it probably must hit you in a different place than something like Jersey Boys did, because this is such a personal thing at the same time.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to give out anything from the show, but yeah, I mean, there's times that I've had to just kind of take a second on stage because I've had to recompose myself just because feelings kind of well up with different things I'm talking about. And it, you know, it's different. It's different places in the show on different nights. It's not just the one thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in Kalamazoo, I guess.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much. And I hope to see all of Kalamazoo there on Friday and Saturday.